So we are continuing on from where Sam stopped last week. And it's been a very interesting period of time being able to hear how to hear from God, which I think is vital for each and every single one of us. Because God is not in the business of speaking to just a few. Hello? That it is the delight of God, just like any father, any parent would. If you find a parent who constantly just calls two out of the five children that they have, there is a problem. At any time, it's just Mike and Frank. You can start questioning yourself and ask yourself, am I not a child in this home? But because God is a good father, he delights that as we incline our ears to him, that we can be able to hear him. That as he ministers in a crowd, in a congregation like this, he will not come to Jean and say, Sanya, 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 confusing Sanya with Jean. Neither will he come to Amunga and start calling Amunga Victor. Victor, Victor, Victor. It does not work like that. And that it is his delight to be able to speak to us. Let me find my non-creaking position. Okay. So, Sam took us through the conscience. Conscience, the con and the science, and that our conscience can be seared, and so we cannot rely on it 100%, that our conscience can be traumatized because of the different experiences that we go through, that it becomes difficult for us to be able to hear from God. But then he spoke again about the word of God, the Bible, that this is our plumb line, that we, in as much as we press and we want to hear from God, he has already spoken to us, and that we have his love letters that we have. It's our choice whether we dive into them or not, because we are living, or we are coming from an age of, we love the dramatic. We love the spectacular. Victor will not believe God is speaking until he hears, thus says the Lord to you, Victor, with thunder and lightning. But God is already speaking to us through his word. So today we are going to continue in, which I hope will be 3 weeks, but Ben has already said it can't be 3 weeks. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how we go through this. And we are going to dive in another way in which God speaks to us, through spiritual gifts. Tell your neighbor, spiritual gifts. And so let me just give a definition of a spiritual gift that I found. That a spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. So, it is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and is used in any ministry of the church. And when I say ministry of the church, does not just confine to these walls within a Sunday gathering. Hello? But that the gift that we have is also of benefit for us when we step into our marketplace. Because the church has been tasked to be able to reach the marketplace people. So in that aspect, you would not just say that your gift is only to be used in a Sunday gathering, but that we need to grow the confidence that when Marcus gets to work and gets a prophetic word over the next chef, will not say, you know, I need to invite you to church so that I can give you this word, because I can't give you this word if you are not in church. It does not work like that. If, for instance, Felix has a word of knowledge for someone, he'll not confine and say, let's first play a song, a worship song, so that we can be in the moment for me to give you that word. But that as we minister both in the context of church and outside, that we can be able to do the work of ministry. Now, Paul speaks at length about spiritual gifts. And when you look at, for instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that whole verse, he speaks about the distribution of these gifts. And you know, part of what he emphasizes is that the gifts are given and distributed by the Holy Spirit. That it is not, there is no other source of these gifts apart from the Holy Spirit. Chapter 13 of the same 1 Corinthians 13. He talks about the motivation for the gifts. And he emphasizes that love is the motivation, or love ought to be the motivation even as we operate in the gifts that we have been given. We'll come back to this. Then in the next one is 14, 1 Corinthians 14, he talks about the operation of the gifts, how the gifts ought to work together in the context of church. And his emphasis is on this, that the gifts ought not to put us in competition with one another. Hello? That I should not be intimidated if we wake up on a Sunday like this and Wesula comes and bursts with a prophetic word. And I start saying, Wesula, keep quiet, you know. Order. There is an order that we are following. Of course, Paul was also addressing at a time whereby it was almost a competition among us who has the highest gift. So who wants to go and start a ministry outside because they've tapped into the prophetic? We'll come back to that again. So, when you look through the works of Paul, he has attempted to list the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But this list in itself is not the entirety of the gifts. Because you'll see in each of the places as he speaks and talks about the different kinds of gifts, there are times he lists some gifts, sometimes he adds other gifts, some other places he adds other gifts. When we come to Peter, we see Peter doing the same, listing some of the gifts as well that have been distributed by the Holy Spirit, but by and large, it's not the full extent. Tuko pamoja, we are together. So the next slide attempts to list some of the gifts. If Ben, you have that photo. So it's almost like trying to categorize the different types of gifts. Then you find like in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, gives you all those eight. Talks about the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, miracles, kinds of healings, helps, administration, tongues. Then you see as you go by, there are different types of gifts, including mercy, including faith. And then as you can go on the farthest point, you see Peter, who tried to summarize and gives only two categories. Whoever speaks, covering several gifts. And then whoever renders service, covering several gifts, as a type of classification of the types of gifts that are there. And so, I'm saying all this because in our modern day churches, there are things that may be listed here in the Bible that people always want to say this is not a gift. So that's why, as well, I'm listing all the gifts that have been listed in the Bible, while at the same time saying the gifts are numerous. That some others may not even consider, let me give an example, serving, or let me say helps or helping as a gift. But it is a gift because there are people who, after being infilled by the Holy Spirit, their heart is inclined towards just serving. We have really lifted up the category of the apostle, prophet, teacher, miracle, pastor, teacher, evangelist. But those are not the end of all the giftings that have been released. Hello? And again, we'll come back to this. Having one gift does not make you superior than the other person having a different type of gift. Let's continue. So, in as C3, as Rhythm City, there is a way as well, we have classified all these different gifts into three categories. And that's what I'll attempt to look at, well, over these couple of weeks that are coming. So today, well, I'm not sure if I'll get to start looking at them this way, but we've classified power gifts. And when we're talking about power gifts, we've listed faith, working miracles, and healings. Then there are revelation gifts, next week, but one. Discerning spirits, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And then the final week, vocal gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. But I wanted to start from a point of talking about the myths and misconceptions about spiritual gifts as a good place to start. So point number one is that spiritual gifts are given to some believers. To some believers. And I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll read from verse 7 to 11. It says this, that a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. What does your Bible say? Does it say a spiritual gift is given to some? Verse 8, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. We need this type of gift in our day and age. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And so, there is no casting of lots and say, me, I prefer prophecy. Sha! Or me, I deserve prophecy. Bring. Mm-mm. It is the Holy Spirit who distributes all these gifts to each and every one of us. That to me, he will give something different. To Victor, we'll have something different. But the source is the same, the Holy Spirit. Hello? So tell your neighbor, you have a gift. Let's see another emphasis on the same. Let's see what Peter talks about when it comes to the gift. 1 Peter chapter 4, from verse 10 to 11. I'm reading from the Amplified version. It says, as each of you has received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious divine endowment, employ it for one another as befits good trustees of God's many-sided grace, faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. That we are only seen as trustees that have been given by unmerited favor. Verse 11. That whoever speaks, let him do it as one who utters oracles of God. Whoever renders service, let him do it as with the strength which God furnishes abundantly, so that in all things God may be what? Glorified. Through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever, through endless ages. Amen. The same verse, if I can read it in the Passion Translation, says that every believer has received grace gifts, so use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. For example, if you have a speaking gift, speak as though God was speaking his words through you. If you have the gift of serving, do it passionately with the strength God gives you, so that in everything God alone will be glorified through Jesus Christ. For to him belong the power and the glory forever throughout all ages. Amen. And the emphasis as well is on removing that thought that can coexist in your mind and say, I am a believer, but I do not believe that there is any spiritual gift in me. That's a lie from the enemy. Because each and every one of us, we have unique gifts that have been distributed to us. Because it's part of the blessings that we have being in God. And so whichever gift that is, the emphasis as well is be comfortable about it. Do not try to compete with one another. You know, we have this tendency. I have a gift. Amunga has a gift. Then our gifts, we start colliding. We start saying, you know me, I'm seeing things differently. I think Amunga does not see what I am seeing. Amunga is not a true man of God. I am the one. Then the next moment you see me going, Amunga is here. I go the next door and I open Kevin Vikilo Ministries. Prophetic healing and power. where we serve the one true God. We have these tendencies that are built more out of pride than out of glorifying God. But Paul is saying, one, hey, that this gift has not just been given to the exclusion of everyone else except you. But that this gift, and it is not just one, and you need all these gifts to be able to form one strong body. Because outside of one gift, it's like walking without having one limb or one key part. And so as we understand this, then we get comfortable that I do not need to be the prophetic. I do not need to have the gift of prophecy in a congregation. Let me be comfortable that Val is our prophetic eye in the congregation. And when I am comfortable being the one who enjoys and moves in the gift of serving, then I will be comfortable to serve because I'm not doing it so that man can see. But I am doing it so that at the end of the day, God will be glorified. So tell your neighbor, let's be comfortable with our gifts. Another scripture reference for us to have, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 4 to 7. It says this, Paul writing still, I always thank God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. And if it is a letter that is being read out to us as believers in Nairobi, it would be along the same lines that Paul is saying this to Rhythm City Church Nairobi, here and now, that I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus, who through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we have these gifts. And as a body of believers, we have all these gifts distributed to each and every one of us. So I want to give you a Sheng word to ask your neighbor. Sorry, this is a Sheng word. I'm going to speak in Greek. Tell your neighbor, usilalie kipawa. In short, I'm seeing David is looking at me. In short, I am saying the translation is don't sleep on your gift. Usilalie kipawa. Two. Misconception number two. This is a big one. That spiritual gifts are a sign of spiritual growth. That spiritual gifts are a sign of spiritual growth. You know, we were here and Agnes was helping us repeat our heartbeat. And part of our heartbeat has the word maturing, spirit-filled followers of Christ. Because, you know, and we talked about maturity a while back, and we emphasized the fact that when it comes to maturity, that this comes through a close walk with Jesus. And it's evident in us being obedient to what God is asking us to do as he commands us in our everyday life. And maturity is a process. We all may be at a different place of our maturity, but that does not mean even before, because you know, we are talking about spiritual gifts. We are not talking about spiritual rewards. Because anything that is a reward is you have earned it. I'll come and say, hey, Jingo, you have been a very faithful steward. You can boast in the fact that you are here every single Sunday. Now here is your gift. It will be he has earned it. But God is speaking about it not as a spiritual reward, but a spiritual gift. That it has already been given. As long as you are a believer, it is handed out to you. So it is not a measure of saying, hey, Lovestone prays too much. He needs a gift. let me give him the gift of tongues. Shika. Take. Mm-mm. But it speaks of a loving father who the only thing that is required for you to access and get a gift is being a believer. So any believer who gets born again today qualifies for a gift. Hello. You may be sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, me, I do not think I have a gift. As long as you're a believer, you have a gift. It's all about being activated to know the gift that you are having. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to just emphasize this point. You know, because when we read the other bit of the Corinthian, Paul's letter to them, he spoke about how they have been given every form of gift. But I want us to read the contrast of the same letter in verse 3, in chapter 3, sorry, from verse 1. He writes to them and says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like the people of the world? And remember, this is the same church that Paul speaks about how they have been given all manner of spiritual gifts. So yes, they had gifts, but they were still struggling with doctrine and maturing because they were still in the process. They were not that finished article. So anyone who stands with any spiritual gift is not an identification that they are spiritually mature. Something else. That the gifts that we have been given can also decrease or increase over time. By one thing. Let's go to Timothy. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Amplified version. It says this. 1 Timothy. Yeah, first, that one. Do not neglect the gift which is in you, that special inward endowment which was directly imparted to you by the Holy Spirit by prophetic utterance when the elders laid their hands upon you at your ordination. So, when I'm saying that it can decrease or increase, one, if it is the gift is neglected. Are we together? If it is neglected. Then he says, Paul is telling Timothy, practice and cultivate and meditate upon these duties. Throw yourself wholly into them as your ministry so that your progress may be evident to everybody. So, you know, let me say this. Part of the reason why people never grow in their gifts is the fear of failure. What if I'm here praying for Terence and I believe I have the healing gift and Terence does not get healed? But the healing is not, that's not my assignment. My assignment is to be faithful with what God has placed in me so that I will call Terence out and pray for him to get healing. Whether he gets healing or not, I do not give up. I see maybe Kevin wants healing. I go still pray for Kevin to get healing. So continuously exercising the gift. Whenever we start thinking what will happen if I pray for them and they do not get healed, it's more about pride than anything else. Because it is not about us. It's us being vehicles. It's us continually stepping in so that God can use us. And this point, turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, God is interested in using you. Frank is saying God is such a user. But God is interested in you. So, On one point, he's telling Timothy, do not neglect the gift that has been poured out into you. And we'll talk about how we can do that, even in the context of church. Because oftentimes as well, you know, church can be stifling if you have a gift that you do not know how it can be used. And church can also be stifling if the confines of what it provides for the expression of the gift does not allow you space to be able to practice the gift that has been laid out in you. And so, we'll talk about where to start. Where to start. Yeah, Oliver is nodding. Yeah, we'll talk about where to start. So then, the same Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 5 to 7, Paul now is talking to Timothy and he's saying this, I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the learning of your entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness, a faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am fully persuaded dwells in you also. Interesting how faith is also contagious. It lines up in the family tree. So please be serious with your faith. Verse 6, that is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. Let me say this. It is our responsibility to continuously fan into flame the gift that God has already laid up on you. Tell your neighbor, it is your responsibility. And you know, when I was reading this, I remembered the Jiko. I'm not even sure if the Jiko has an English name, Damaris. Chakobana. Chakobana. Chakobana is the best. Eh? Oh, that is a different thing. Eh? Charcoal stove. you know? The bougie one say it's a Jiko. The non-bougie people will call it the village facilitator of food. Would qualify? 50-50. But I remember. Thank you. That is a very good illustration. But that is wood. No, this is a different one. Please, let me stay on topic. You're taking me elsewhere. So, with this as an illustration, you know, I could remember when you are lighting up. You know, nowadays, people in Nairobi cheat whenever they are lighting these things up. They have the gasoline they can put in to help with lighting. And then just put a matchstick and then shwa! Ben, look for one that has actual coals, if you can find one that has actual coals. But you know, as you were lighting in the village or in the countryside, but you know, even in Nairobi, there are places that people use these things. So you would use almost something that is, how would I describe it? or your mouth. Yeah, this best describes. And you would blow wind, you are fanning it until the heat that is underneath finally catches the whole thing. That it is not just part of the jiko that is on fire, but that the whole of the jiko is on fire. And so it is the same thing that came to mind. The gift that you may have may be looking as small as this sparkle at the moment. It is small that nobody else can even recognize that that gift is in you. That you yourself, when people are asked who has a gift, you may not stand amongst those who have gifts. Because they're like, I do not think mine counts. It's a decimal 0.00001. But he's saying fan into flame. Blow it up. Trust God in the process of what he has laid inside of you. If it means you come and you are laying hands on people and maybe you believe in miracles and you're praying 3 hours, nothing happens, it's okay. Move on. God will still answer that prayer. But the problem is when you start praying and then you're like, oh, maybe this gift is not in me, so let me sit. You're like, maybe the gift that Terence has is better than what I have. So fan into flame. 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 So that the secret gift becomes like that jiko, a public display. But that jiko looks like it has really undergone life. That looks, the jiko looks like it has been in ministry for years. Because let me tell you something. Marcus. When you light up on fire, you are able to help the other person to light up on fire. You know, previously, sometimes you would see mothers, if they needed to light the next jiko, they would come pick one from here and transfer it to the next one. And that is the way that other one will catch on fire. And that is why we want more people to come and use their gifts of teaching as well and pastoring. So that when you see Esther standing here, you're like, if Esther can do it, so can I. If Mike, the Mike that I had seen him growing and the things that he was doing, the pictures that he would not want me to release on social media. If Mike can do it, so can I. Hey, if Leilani can do it, because if God can use me out of all the people in the world, he can use you as well. So let's fan into flame. Point number three. I think I may stop at point number three. And we'll continue next week. Spiritual gifts are a source of self-pride. Let me tell you, ministries in this country and in the world have been built out of people having gifts. Today, just like Amunga was saying, Victor Ministry International, where you step into your victorious life each and every day. We are more than victors. But oftentimes, we celebrate the gift more than the gift giver. So we build. Eh? You see here, Victor starting to come and dress funny. Because, you know, the one who carries the gift cannot just wear like anyone else. Even the posture of walking changes. The Bible becomes so hard, so heavy that I need someone to carry my Bible because the gift. Or you start, instead of coming with normal sized Bibles, you decide yours. My wife is reminding me, it's true, there's nothing wrong with having a big Bible. Very true. Thank you. Yeah. Maybe you the Bible you're using is a study Bible. It is okay. So, but when it comes to a point whereby you see as if nobody else has a Bible except you and the big one, then there's a problem. There's a problem. So, there's an elevation of the gift and the gift carrier even over the gift giver. And failing to understand that these gifts have been given by God. And that's why 1 Corinthians chapter 12 speaks, I'm going to read from verse 1, just confirming the same from the Passion Translation. Paul is writing and saying, my fellow believers, I don't want you to be confused about spiritual realities or spiritual gifts. For you know well, full well, that when you are unbelievers, you are often led astray in one way or another by worship of idols, which are incapable of talking with you. Therefore, I want to impart to you an understanding of the following. No one speaking by the Spirit of God would ever say Jesus is the accursed one. No one can say Jesus is the Lord Yahweh unless the Holy Spirit is speaking through him. It is the same Holy Spirit who continues to distribute many different varieties of gifts. The Lord Yahweh is one, and he is the one who apportions to believers different varieties of ministries. The same God distributes different kinds of miracles that accomplish different results through each believer's gift and ministry as he energizes and activates them. That each believer is given continuous revelation by the Holy Spirit to benefit not just himself, but all. So again, just an emphasis of the same, that the gifts have been given by God, not to some, but to all of us. Let's stand up on our feet. So this is a 3 weeks that as well I want to invite you. Not even 3 weeks. Yeah, it's going to be more. But this would be a couple of weeks of us diving in to be able to understand these gifts. And my prayer as well is that as we go along the journey, that you will be able to discover what is a gift that you have. Because each and every one of us has the gift inside of us. And so I'm praying that God will start from today to speak to us about the giftings that we have, to touch us afresh. For those who may have gotten to a point whereby they've never been exercising or they have not been exercising their gifts. You know, the good thing with that chakobana is that it can be lit up afresh. It can be reactivated because God is interested in the body of Christ having members that are activated. And as we get activated, then we are able to set one another on fire. Let's just pray this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. And we bless you, for you are God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you who distributes gifts to all your people. And we thank you, the Lord, even as we dive in, may our eyes be opened to the gifts, Lord, you've given to each and every one of us. We, our Lord, we are expectant that, Lord, even for the gifts that, Lord, may have been neglected, we thank you, the Lord, during this season, during this time, the Lord, they'll be reactivated. The Lord will be able to come alive in everything that, Lord, you've deposited in us. We thank you, Father, for all that you are doing. We pray, the Lord, may this be a week, and may this be kickstart weeks of being alive in you. May you cause us as well to open our eyes to the times when we've done comparison, to the times when we felt like it is a competition, to the times when, Lord, we have not even used our gifts in the manner that they ought to be used. Thank you for all that you are doing. Lord, we believe the Lord, even as we step into this new week, the Lord, you are continuing to activate and keep us safe, Lord. May your glorious light continue to shine upon us to the glory and honor of your name. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray.